Today on Family Talk. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Jim Veldhuis, and every once in a while, we like to air a program that we call Ask Dr. Meg. This show features our co-host and physician in residence here at Family Talk, Dr. Meg Meeker. With over 30 years of pediatric experience and the big heart of a mom, she loves to answer questions that our listeners have sent in, from queries about co-sleeping to how to help children cope with divorce. With me is Dr. Meg's producer, Liz, who will be co-hosting with her today.
Thank you, Jim. I'm excited to be here. And as you've just said, we at Family Talk love hearing from our listeners. And on today's program, I'll be reading out several questions that have been sent in to Dr. Meg. Today, we'll look into issues like the dating as a single parent dilemma, how to help teens suffering from anxiety, and how to decipher if your child is living with exhaustion or something much deeper. We know that there are a lot of tough parenting questions out there and that there isn't always a lot of reliable material to refer to.
Exactly, and that's why we feel so blessed to be one of the ministries out there that is committed to bringing you wisdom and practical tips for your family from a biblical perspective. And on that note, I'll pass it back over to you, Liz, for today's Ask Dr. Meg program here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
To kick us off, I actually have a question from Jeff, and he is saying that he is a single parent and he still has kids living at home. And he is wondering, how can he handle dating in this scenario with kids still living in the home?
Well, Jeff may or may not like my answer. You know, I'm pretty clear about things. And here's my take on single parents and dating. First and foremost, the children come first. If you're a single parent, that tells me that the other parent either died or left home or you're divorced. Either way, it doesn't matter. The child is going through a grieving period because they grieve the loss, whether it's just the parent moving away or the parent dying or something going on. So your child, if you're a single parent, to a large degree is going to be going through some kind of grieving. All kids grieve differently. And you need to give your child adequate time to grieve. Sometimes that takes a year. Sometimes that takes 8 years. It's hard to know. It depends on how old your child is and what's going on in his or her life, and also what kind of relationship you have with your child. So as a general rule, I tell single parents, you need to wait a good long time after the separation, the death, or the divorce for you to even think about dating. And here's why. Your kids can't deal with it. And you're going to disrupt your relationship with your children. And your children need to have a close bond with you and a solid relationship with you. I can't stress that enough. I understand that dads like Jeff and single moms out there are hurting themselves. They want companionship. They want to move forward with their lives. And many of them feel, you know what, I've been through this horrible relationship. I deserve another shot at this. Well, you do, but maybe not right now. You must put your children's welfare first. And most kids, from my experience, cannot handle a single parent dating. If you are dating, and let's say it has been 6 or 7 years since the divorce, certainly you should never even think about dating for at least 3 or 4 years after the divorce or the death, unless there's unusual circumstances. For instance, you know, your wife died and you knew and your kids knew the woman very well that you now want to date, and maybe it was a close friend of your wife's and they're comfortable with that. That's a different situation, but that's not your typical situation. But let's say that Jeff does want to date and many years have passed. I would highly encourage you, do not bring your girlfriend to your home to meet your kids unless you're ready to get married, unless you're contemplating getting engaged. And here's why I say that. Children are having difficulty, whether they're 18 or 8. They're going to have difficulty trusting another woman because they've been hurt by their mother and they've been hurt by you. If you bring in a girlfriend and they bond with that girlfriend and then you break up with that girlfriend a year down the road, they're wounded all over again. And then they don't trust even more. They have more difficulty trusting. So don't put your children through your relationships and breakups, because again, kids just can't handle that. We often say kids can adapt to anything and they're very resilient. Well, they are very resilient, but they still hurt. So unless you're ready to get engaged, I strongly recommend you keep your dating life personal and private. You don't involve your kids in it until they absolutely have to be involved in it. And then you test them out. You want to see how your girlfriend responds to your kids. Will she be a good stepmother? Is she going to love your kids? Is she going to be a good role model for your kids? You know, some kids do need good role models. Maybe they had a mother who was very ill with something, drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they do need a good role model. Well, is this person going to be that role model to your children? So again, it's putting your kids' needs first. And remember, your kids are going to grow up, they're going to leave the home, and you're going to have plenty of time to date and remarry and do whatever you want to do. So make sure that your kids' needs are taken care of first and foremost before you even consider dating. And then you got to have strict rules for yourself around the dating if you decide to go down that path.
Okay. Now I've got another question here, Dr. Meg, and this is from Annie. And she said, my son is 14 years old and he is sleeping constantly. He is always complaining that he's tired. He's on the swim team and they practice 3 times a week, but there is no way that they work him to this kind of physical exhaustion. Now, he isn't eating what she would class as any more than normal. And she says, as far as she knows, he isn't going through a growth spurt. Now, what could be going on?
Well, several things could be going on. If I had a nickel for every tired teenager I saw, I'd be a wealthy woman. Let's tackle the easy stuff first. Many 14-year-olds are overscheduled. Maybe he's on the swim team. Wonderful. Swimming is a great exercise for kids. Very appropriate, very healthy. But I would ask, what else is he doing? Is he leaving swim practice and going to play practice? Or is he going to youth group? Or is he going to soccer practice? Or is he going to his tutor? A 14-year-old boy ideally should have 12 hours of sleep a night, and people gasp when I say that. At least 10, at least 8. But the truth of the matter is most 14-year-olds are not getting anywhere near that amount of sleep. Many are running on 6 hours of sleep a night. They go to bed, they fall asleep by midnight, they're up at 6 in the morning, they're on the bus, and they're off to school. So many kids simply aren't getting enough sleep. Many kids are overscheduled, and if that's the reality for your son, you need to dial some things down. You need to say, do you want swimming or do you want the play? Do you want the play or do you want soccer? In other words, you need to be willing to go to your son or daughter and say, this isn't working. You're exhausted. We need to first and foremost cut something from your schedule so that you can de-stress and you can get some more sleep. The other thing that I would be concerned about is physically what is going on with him. Does he have something going on like a connective tissue disease, you know, lupus or, you know, rheumatoid arthritis or some of those things that can rear their heads during the teen years that can cause physical fatigue and pain in kids? So I would definitely take your son to the doctor, and I would have your doctor do a good physical exam, your pediatrician, and address the issue. You know, he's having a lot of fatigue, and I don't know why. What is going on? Is he anemic? Does he have a thyroid problem? There are many physical issues or illnesses that can contribute to this degree of fatigue in a 14-year-old. Finally, I would be concerned if there's no physical issue and he's not overscheduled and he is getting enough adequate amount of sleep, is your son depressed? We know that depression in teenagers has risen over the past years, and we also know that too much sleep or sleepiness or wanting to sleep a lot is one of the biggest signs of depression in teenagers. So I would start to look at other things going on in your son's life. You say that he's eating adequately. Many times teenagers who are depressed, they sleep too much. Their appetite changes. It either decreases or it increases. They are very sullen. They don't want to talk a lot. They avoid their friends. So there's a change in the friendships. They have difficulty with school. Their grades start to nosedive. Pretty soon they start to lose interest in things that previously gave them a lot of joy. So you may say, you know, my son just doesn't like swimming anymore. He doesn't want to be with his friends. He hates school. Life just turns dark for children or for teenagers who are having some depression. So if you feel that this could be depression, and again, I would encourage you to trust your gut on this, definitely take him to his doctor and address the issue with your doctor and have him or her address the issue of depression with your son. But you definitely can get to the bottom of this. I see this all the time in teenagers. We are used to, as doctors, sorting these things out, trying to figure out if it's a physical issue, is it a psychological issue, is it a combination of both? Because usually it can be a combination, so that you can figure out what's going on and then offer your son some help. Because for every one of these issues that I've talked about, there's some clear help, and your doctor should be able to give you some good counsel in that direction, in any one of those directions.
That's great, Dr. Meg. Thank you so much. And we're going to move right along. And Dr. Meg, I have a question from a worried mom. And actually, from the state of the question, I think she's quite worried. She says, my 12-year-old daughter is craving attention from boys. She is overly touchy and she dresses, quote unquote, sexy to get attention. What do I do?
Well, she's screaming out that she needs help. Many people would pass this off as normal teenage 12-year-old behavior, but I don't. I think that our kids are living in an overly sexualized culture, so they are being sexualized at very early ages. Look at the way clothes are made. You try to find clothes for children over the age of 6, and it's hard to find clothes that aren't sexy, that don't have metal studs on them or leather fringe or, you know, things like this. So there's a lot going on in a child's world that is teaching them that acting sexy and talking sexy garners them a lot of attention, and indeed it does, as your daughter is seeing. The other red flag is that at 12, most girls are physically more mature than boys are, and they can use that to their advantage to get attention from boys. So this can be kind of dangerous. It's very important that you sit down and talk with your daughter about attention and about boys and about why she may want attention from the boys. You don't want to talk to her in an accusatory or demeaning way. In other words, you don't want to make her feel badly about herself because she wants attention. That's fine for her to want attention, but the way she's going about getting it is not healthy. So you want to talk to her about the importance of not trying to be sexy around boys, because it could lead to a very bad place. The other thing that's very important to address is, why is she wanting male attention? You say she doesn't want attention from girlfriends, but she's getting it from boys. So I would ask, where's dad? What kind of relationship does she have with dad? Does she have a father? If you say she doesn't have a good relationship with her dad, then you need to address that in some way and help her find a healthy role model, granddad or an uncle or an older brother, who can give her some healthy attention so she's not trying to get it met through classmates. That's a very dangerous sign. We also know that girls in their 13, 14, 15 years of age who are sexually active are doing it not so much for the physical pleasure, but because they want male attention. So that's a very real need that girls have. And you, as her mom, need to help her have that need met, so that she isn't going to boys in her class and getting her need met in a very unhealthy way. Finally, I would encourage you to help your daughter find some things in her life that will help boost her self-esteem. Girls who are acting out this way and getting attention from boys don't feel good about themselves. Girls who feel self-confident, it's hard to find a 12-year-old who feels self-confident, because they all feel insecure about their bodies and their looks and who they are, and that's pretty normal. But it's very important for you as a mother to find things that she's good at or interested in that you can help her pursue, so that she will feel good about herself. Is she good at art? Is she a reader? Does she like to read? Is she good at chess? Is she good at a sport? Help her find an area where she can become engaged and develop those skills, feel good about those skills, smarter, a better athlete, a better dancer or something, so that she isn't wanting to get attention in the wrong areas. So that's an important thing to do as well. But certainly don't ignore her. This is not healthy teen behavior. There's a red flag of something going on. Our culture would pass it off as normal. But if your daughter continues on this path, she could end up in a pretty bad place in a year or two. And a girl at 12 who's looking for attention from another 12-year-old boy is probably in 6th grade or 7th grade. And in a couple of years, she's going to be 14 in high school, having 18-year-old boys look at her. So if she continues down this path in a very short period of time, there are going to be older boys who are going to outmaneuver her physically and intellectually, and she's going to be in a bad situation. So you really need to nip this in the bud. And I will say that at 12, many girls will go on social media and they'll experiment with different persona. They will, you know, make themselves look or appear on Facebook to be someone other than who they really are. They think it's fun. They think it's innocent. So they use words they would never otherwise use. They try to get attention from boys they never would want to have attention from in real life. So parents need to be all over social media with their kids and try to figure out, what are my kids projecting to other kids? And is this healthy or is it not healthy? Because parents, again, need to be in there protecting their kids.
Absolutely. And actually, moving on to that age we were talking about, to high school, 14 and 15, I have another question from another mom. She didn't give us her name, but she said, "Hi, Dr. Meg, I am really worried about my daughter. She is 15 and an excellent student, a dancer, and a violinist, but she says that she is so anxious sometimes that she can't sleep. How can I help her with this?"
Well, I'm so glad to hear this mother addressing this, because a lot of parents will look at their teenager as being anxious and try to ignore it or be embarrassed and not want to talk about it. But, you know, helping your child identify what their problem is 90% of the battle. Once you know what you're dealing with, then you can really help your child overcome this. A lot of teenagers are anxious, and there are different levels of the anxiety. Some are distressed and they get anxious before they take a test, but by and large, they can control it. When you have a child, a 15-year-old, who is having interrupted sleep, or the anxiety is interrupting their daily routine or not allowing them to function maximally, then it's a problem and it needs to be addressed. I would sit down and I would first start talking about to your daughter about saying, "Honey, do you have any idea what you might be anxious about?" Most 15-year-olds don't have a clue. So then you start to dig a little bit with them and say, "Well, tell me, what times during the day do you find you get anxious? Or is it certain people? Is it a teacher? Is it schoolwork? A certain class? A certain group of people?" In other words, try to help your child do a little bit of detective work to figure out what triggers the anxiety. You know, because a lot of kids, if they go backwards, they can find, "Well, you know, when I sat down in that class or when I was around that person, that made me feel kind of upset and a little bit worried." And again, you want to engage your child in doing the detective work, not as much to find the trigger for the anxiety or what they may be worried about, but you want to teach your child how to start doing some introspection, how to start understanding how their feelings are connected to their behavior, how to get to know themselves better, and how to deal with certain emotions. That's very, very important. And it's a wonderful time to start doing this, because at 15, their cognitive abilities are maturing so that they can start to do this kind of mind work that they couldn't do when they were 12. If you can help your daughter find out specifically what she's worried about, then maybe you can help talk her through that. If she's worried about a specific subject, you can help her, you know, play through different scenarios. "Well, what would happen if you flunked math? What would happen if you never could pass math? What would happen if you couldn't graduate?" You know, so you kind of go through worst case scenarios to help her figure out life is still going to be okay even though you may not do very well in math. If you find that you're not getting anywhere, it's really important that you call up your pediatrician and start there. Take your daughter to the pediatrician and sit down and say, you know what, my daughter's having some anxiety. It's interrupting her sleep. Talk to your doctor in front of your daughter in a very matter-of-fact way, the way you would if she were having chronic headaches and her headaches were interrupting her sleep, or if she had another kind of an issue. In other words, don't surround her anxiety or you're dealing with the anxiety in a manner that makes her feel that you're embarrassed or that she's embarrassed, because she certainly shouldn't be. And then your doctor should be able to recommend a good plan of attack for her anxiety. Again, we deal with this pretty frequently. Most pediatricians do. He or she should be able to recommend some good counselors in the area who can help your daughter desensitize herself, if you will, to whatever is prompting her anxiety. And anxiety is an illness that we actually can treat and treat pretty effectively. So don't be embarrassed at all to take her to your doctor, sit down and have a heart-to-heart with your doctor. And if your doctor isn't comfortable either recommending good treatment or recommending good counselors, then at least they should be able to recommend another doctor who can help you deal with her anxiety.
That's good. That's great, Dr. Meg. And anxiety is a very real thing. And I feel like with the,
yes,
you know, with everything that all teenagers and kids are dealing with, you know, and especially with the addition of social media and having to, yeah, who has the better Instagram feed? Who has this? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? You know, there's always this underlying, you know, realm of competition between teens. And I think that adds a significant amount.
It's a very hard time in history to be a teenager, because teenagers feel very competitive. Competition is everywhere. You go on social media or Instagram and everybody is showing their best face. And a teenager can quickly feel, gee whiz, everybody has life a whole lot better than I do, and they get very upset about that, or they feel that they don't look as good or they're not as smart as another person, and it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal to young kids, and I see a lot of anxiety in younger and younger kids, and a lot of it is social media because it's this comparative thing, and mm-hmm. they never feel they measure up. And then if you have parents who are really pushing their kids and overscheduling their kids, you have that layer of angst on top of it. Kids feel like they never measure up for their parents. And kids get all bound up and stressed so quickly at very young ages. And that has some really physically damaging effects. And mentally, it's very damaging. And it's very sad because kids don't need to live with anxiety. And certainly they don't need to live with the kind of anxiety that is interrupting your sleep or interrupting your school day.
Well, that's all we have time for today. We hope you've been encouraged and had some of your own questions answered through this broadcast. Now, if you have a question that you'd like to send in to Dr. Meg, then visit our website, drjamesdobson.org/blogs. That's drjamesdobson.org/blogs. You'll find the link to submit a question on her blog page. If you want to listen to this program again or share it with another parent out there who needs to hear Dr. Meg's advice, you can download the show from our website or call us for a CD copy at 877-732-6825. We also have a great selection of resources available right now that can be yours with the gift of a donation to Family Talk. And right now, your donation could have twice the impact, as we have a $1.15 million matching grant. We so greatly appreciate the generosity of our listeners. Without you, well, we wouldn't be here. I'm Jim Veldhuis, and thank you for joining us today. We hope to have you again with us next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Ready?
Raising kids well isn't easy in today's society. Just ask Dr. Meg. With over 30 years of pediatric experience and the heart of a mom, she has both eyes open to what is happening to our kids today. The culture is bombarding our children with morally corrupt messages, inappropriate entertainment, and a severe lack of truth. What do you do when your child says they're so anxious that they can't sleep? What if your 12-year-old son comes to you and says that he thinks he's transgender? Do any of these scenarios sound familiar or even scare you? You're not alone. Parents all across America need help, and that's why we've created Ask Dr. Meg, a program dedicated to answering those really tough questions that parents all across the country are desperate to find answers to. Dr. Meg Meeker is standing in the gap to be a voice of wisdom, comfort, and practical advice when it comes to your kids. As the country's leading authority on children and teens' health, she desires more than anything to help parents through the difficult seasons that come up. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Dr. Meg, then visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. Select Dr. Meg Meeker's blog, and on the right-hand sidebar, you'll find a link to send in your question. You don't have to parent in fear. Start equipping yourself for the road ahead, and remember that you are hardwired to be everything that your child needs. Don't believe me? Just ask Dr. Meg.